Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for the members, to the members of the committee for hearing House Bill 1659, which provides for the legalization, regulation, and taxation of marijuana in the state of Missouri. Mr. Chairman, some of my helpers have baked some brownies for the committee's enjoyment. I hope you... Mr. Chairman, although many of you and I have had a good time with this bill, and there's been a lot of jokes about the bill and the subject and all that, and there is a lot of humor in this subject, I want you to know that I am deadly serious about the subject. I used to be opposed to legalization, and that I changed kind of gradually during the time that I was a judge. I saw too many young people whose lives were ruined by convictions for small amounts of marijuana. I saw too many times, I did all the domestic violence in Boone County for 7 years, and too many times there was not a deputy sheriff or a police officer to respond to domestic violence calls because they were busy with things like marijuana enforcement. And in the course of my time here and through the time of what we think of as the war on drugs, the United States of America and the state of Missouri have spent many tens of billions of dollars on the enforcement of laws against marijuana. And it'd be difficult to prove that we stopped one single person from smoking one single marijuana joint. I suggest that when the government is doing things so comprehensively wrong and so expensively for such a long period of time, that we should re-examine what they are doing. And for those reasons, I sponsored the bill. The bill provides that for possession of small amounts, that you would not be subject to prosecution under the law in the state of Missouri. It provides for the regulation of the substance and the taxation at 25% of retail value for the substance. If we were to apply the current results in Colorado, that would mean, Mr. Chairman, that we would be producing somewhere over $100 million in new tax revenue for the state of Missouri and not spending a large sum of money on what I think of as inefficient and ineffective policing. I will be happy to hear, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to have to go back to budget because we have a domestic violence issue that I'm kind of in charge of taking care of. But I want to present, answer questions, and then I'm going to ask Attorney Dan Veets from Columbia to come up and speak. And then he has a list of some witnesses that have asked to testify. I have told the proponents that I hope that they will keep their testimony in total to less than a half an hour. So I would be happy to stop there and entertain any questions that any of the committee members might have.
Any questions for the representative? Representative Wilson. Proceed.
Gentlemen, I sense and I know you're sincere about this, but you got to know I still have some grave concerns.
I'm sure. And, you know, this is a very interesting question of public policy.
Absolutely. And everybody keeps talking about our jails are full of people using marijuana. I seriously doubt that. I ran a large jail for years. Do people go to jail for marijuana? Sure they do. But less than 35 grams? Rarely.
That's right. And I've always objected, gentlemen, from the time I was a judge, to the theory that many proponents have that lots of people are in jail for small amounts. Here's what my experience was. Guy gets arrested for simple possession. So I fine him the $200 and put him on 2 years on supervised probation, and then he beats up his girlfriend, he writes a bad check, and he gets a DWI. Then he is in jail, but he's in jail behind the probation violation rather than behind the original bust.
Well, and no question about it. So many crimes that people end up in jail for, marijuana use is associated to some degree all the time. My question is, my concerns are, and we hear a lot about secondhand smoke. That's an issue. If marijuana is legal, is being smoked inside a home and there are small children in that home, those children are exposed to secondhand smoke, and that is dangerous. And I guess it's more philosophical, but where does personal responsibility come into play? This is against the law, but yet we people are violating the law. And we As they did with Prohibition. But somewhere along the line, we have to be responsible for our own actions. And I'm just afraid that we've adopted a mindset that the means justify the ends, and let's just tax it and get revenue and forget about the ills that this is going to cause society.
That was my argument when I was opposed to legalization. That was a effect of my argument. But I see more harm. The other side of that argument is also true. We do ruin a lot of young people's lives behind this with the convictions for something that is, in fact, relatively minor. And we do spend an awful lot of money on it. And it is an awful lot of government. And those are the two legitimate sides of this issue. There are two legitimate sides. I don't disagree with you at all that there's a reasonable argument against legalization. But I have changed on this subject, thinking more harm is done from the legalization. But I do not discount your arguments, and I do respect your arguments on it.
Appreciate it, sir.
Any further questions? Representative Ellington.
To inquire.
Proceed.
And this goes directly to the fiscal. No, I want to make sure I'm correct. Is it really an estimated $750 million to $1 billion annually that we would generate?
No. I think that you may not be reading the fiscal. Where are you getting that?
What page is this? Page 3 of 18. I was just reading the assumptions of the alcohol and tobacco control, ATC.
3 of 18?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, 7 of 18. Just a minute.
And that's why I was asking, because it was a difference between the first page. And it's in the second paragraph. When it talks about the ATC estimates that excise taxes collected would be.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
No, marijuana sales of that amount. ATC thinks there may be that much marijuana sold. Somewhere between 750 and a billion. That's modeled on what's happened. Well, it's modeled on what's probably happening now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's any question that marijuana is the biggest cash crop in the state of Missouri, bigger than soybeans. No, I'm serious.
Now, I was just curious about the economic benefit, because I actually support the bill and the idea. I was just curious about if you could share some of the economic benefits for the state.
Well, one of the biggest benefits for me is not the money. It's the inappropriate use of law enforcement. I think that police cannot do everything, and they have to choose. And when they're choosing to do this, in my opinion, and having watched the police from the bench for 7 years, I believe they're almost always, when they're doing this, not doing something that is more threatening to public safety.
Well, Representative, the reason I ask, because I'm actually looking at the public safety benefit, in particular when we talk about drug situations like drug court, when we're talking about actually identifying the psychological and physiological effects of drugs, because I see this as a way of us generating revenue and actually using those in programs and services that would be vital for low-income areas. That's why I was asking about it.
I think that those are fair questions, and it's time maybe to emphasize a point. Because I think that marijuana should be legal doesn't mean I condone its use. I think there's a lot of behaviors in society that I would not make illegal, but I hope don't occur. And I think that when they do occur, they're not helpful to society. I just think that we've had the same experience in the United States with marijuana that we had with alcohol. I think we've tried prohibition, and it's pretty overwhelmingly clear that prohibition has not been successful. A, it hasn't stopped people. B, it's ruined lives. C, it puts the marijuana in the criminal element. And D, it detracts from rational law enforcement.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Rhodes.
Let me inquire, please.
Proceed.
Representative, I also see in your bill that talks about synthetic marijuana. Can you elaborate a little bit on that, please?
Well, I think that that's an area when I filed the bill, I understand that there's a number of areas, that being one of them, that will be worked on in the committee, but I wanted to give the committee all the possible concerns. I'm not sure what my position is on synthetic marijuana, because synthetic marijuana can have such a wide, as you know probably better than anybody else in the General Assembly, can have such a wide spectrum. The other thing I would certainly, if the bill were to move at all, want it to go to the vote of the people, and I would certainly want to decrease, it's in here at a pound of personal possession. I would certainly want no more than a quarter pound. You know, so there's several issues, synthetic marijuana being one of them, that I am not 100% sure where I would go on it. I don't know how to define it better, though, but I thought if we put it in for discussion, people like, there's you and there's Representative Higdon, both of whom are, and Representative Rorta, all of whom were cops, you know, law enforcement officers.
They do the same job.
As cops?
Yeah, I guess. Right. I don't know. I've been called worse.
Oh, often you've been called worse, I mean.
Today, as a matter of fact. Yes. Yeah.
Well, thank you. That's why it's in there. I don't know the answer to that question.
Okay. Well, and it makes a big, that opens up a huge.
That's right.
Deal. So, thank you.
Any further questions for Representative Kelly? Seeing none. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am going to turn back into a budget geek and leave it with my longtime friend and chief spokesman on the issue, Dan Beetz.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, members of the committee.